Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost comes from our gospel reading of Matthew. And Peter answered Jesus, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" In the name of Jesus. Oh, to be Peter, to have such faith, to be able to walk upon the waves and trample down the very sea, to be able to do the miraculous, the impossible, to trust in God enough to throw all caution to the wind and say, "You know what? I really can do all things through him who gives me strength." I wonder what that was like. At least for those first few steps, to feel liquid become solid and yet still wet and malleable and squishy between the toes. To know that I'm not supposed to be doing what I'm doing. It should be completely and totally and utterly impossible, and yet now somehow it is possible. I'm curious how far he made it. Was it just a step or two? Did he get just halfway there, or did he stride up right next to Jesus, stand right beside him before reality started to sink in and he began to slip beneath the waves? The text does say that he walked on the water and came to Jesus. Is that why Jesus was able to grab hold of him so quickly? But if that was the case, then what does that say about Peter? If he had made it all the way to Jesus, and then he began to doubt, isn't that even worse? Maybe that just means that Peter was one of those seeds that the sower threw upon the rocky ground. We heard about that a couple weeks ago. Was Peter the type of guy who immediately receives the word with joy and yet having no root in himself endures for a while, but when tribulation or persecution arises, he immediately falls away? Or was Peter a different seed? Was he one amongst the thorns instead? I guess it's hard to tell the difference sometimes, isn't it? But we sure do like to diagnose other people, don't we? And why didn't the other disciples clamber out of the boat too? Did they not have the same faith as Peter? Were they too terrified to presume such a thing? Maybe. Maybe not. Matthew doesn't really seem to tell us where the other disciples were in their walk of faith, in their faith journey. I know, that language is horrible, isn't it? Except for the fact that they were terrified that they are in the boat, thinking that they had just seen a ghost. And I guess you don't go running in the direction of something that looks like that, some sort of phantom from the deep that has come to drag you down to the abyss. So maybe the others were better. Maybe they had a stronger faith, or maybe they didn't. I don't know. Maybe they were just paralyzed by fear and they made no conscious decision about the whole thing. And yet, maybe none of them's really better than the next. Peter not being able to keep his eyes focused on Jesus. The other disciples too lily-footed to try out their sea legs there on the ocean deep. But then again, maybe all of this speculation isn't all that important. Maybe it's downright wrong for us to be doing. It's that whole log versus the speck thing all over again. We want to focus on the other person's faults instead of our own, when really we should just be looking at our own reflection in that glassy water. So maybe we should put ourselves in that disciple-filled boat, see exactly where we would have ended up. And at first glance, I assume that most of us would number ourselves with the 11 who'd stayed in the boat. But I guess I shouldn't speak for you. You can speak for yourself in your own mind right now, which one of those disciples you would have been. And if you want to discuss it later, perhaps you can have a conversation with your family about it when you drive home. Right now, I'll just speak for myself. In this scenario, I'm pretty sure that I would still be sitting in the boat because I don't have as big and bold of a faith that I would like to think. Far too often, I doubt the words of my Lord and the promises that He makes to me. Far too often, I can't take that leap of faith. You know what I'm talking about. But instead, I'm just too scared to do anything more than the normal and the mundane. I wish I could be like Peter. I wish that I could do what he did, and then even better, keeping my eyes on Jesus, that I could stand firm upon all of the tempests that threaten to do me harm. I wish that I wouldn't even sink, but that I would walk up to my Lord and be able to prove to him that I have faith that can move mountains. Well, that just isn't me. But I suppose before we get too far off the boat here, we should probably make sure that we're reading this whole thing correctly. Because when we read everything in context, I'm not sure that we've been reading it correctly in the first place. Because immediately we praise Peter, and we slap him on the back, and we say, "You did better than I could have. Just wait until next time. Next time you'll learn from your mistakes and you'll trust more. You'll have bigger and better faith. You'll walk further on the waves. You'll stand next to Jesus longer. Maybe you'll even accompany him back to the boat as all the rest of the disciples stare on at wonder at the amazing things that you were able to accomplish." But are we sure that that's the way we should be thinking about this? Is Peter, in this particular scenario, the one to be praised for his unwavering and amazing steadfastness? Let's just start with a simple question, shall we? In this scenario, in the middle of a sea being tossed by the wind and the waves, where is the only place that a person like you or me belongs? It's not a trick question. The answer is quite obvious. People belong in the boat. In the midst of a storm, the last place that a man should be is clambering out over the railings, finding himself out there in the ocean, once blue, now turned black. Take all of that, "Yeah, but Jesus was out there" stuff out of it, and let's just be rational, just for a moment. Where's the safest place in the midst of a squall? It's in the boat. So let's continue on from that jumping off point then. Because I understand that the disciples were scared, and more than scared, they were terrified. And more than terrified, they were deathly afraid. The boat was in the middle of the sea, and it was being beaten by the waves. Experienced fishermen, of which at least four of them were, weren't all that sure that they were going to make it out alive, going to make it to the other side, going to see the light of day again. And then you have this figure, this something, walking on water toward the boat. And even if you weren't a first century Galilean with your preconceived notions that the sea was where the demons dwelt, you surely wouldn't think that anything good is coming towards you. As the boat is taking on water and the wind batters your face, the only thing that you could be thinking, the only thing that could be treading on those waves 50 feet from the railing would have to be something wanting to drag you to death. Then we have Jesus speaking a word. Because he knows their terror. He knows your terror. He knows that you are certain that you'll never see the other side and that you're going to die with lungs filled with sinful salt water. And so he calls out with all of the grace and mercy and care and love and comfort that only your Lord can do. "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." That's it. It's all that needs to be done, all that needs to be said. "Take heart, do not fear. It is me, it is Jesus. Everything is going to be okay." And it's more than Jesus just saying, "Don't worry, it's me." It's really something more than that. In the Greek, he says, "Ego I me." That means Jesus is saying, really, "Take heart, I am. Do not be afraid. This is one of those times in which Jesus is explicitly saying, I'm God. I'm the great I am. Don't be scared. Which should bring all of the comfort that you would ever need. Because when God declares that He is with you, there isn't a single thing that can overcome you. Not even death can kill you for good when God is for you and in your corner. That's what we just celebrated on Friday at Pastor Rolf's funeral. Which would then mean that the disciples in the boat, they're exactly in the right place, the very place, the only place that they're supposed to be. And I know that the wind is a-blowing and the waves are a-rolling and the squall is a-squalling out there, but isn't that just the way of the things in this fallen world? Aren't there just certain times, more times than we would want, more times certainly than we would like to admit, isn't it really every single day for you? Every single day when sin breaks stuff and makes life really scary. When Satan whispers into your ears, and he does that devilishly good job at convincing you that no one loves you because you're not worthy to be loved. Isn't it every single day of your life that death is just around a corner and you don't know what breath will be your last? So where is it then? Amongst all of those things, where should you be? Is it better to be out there on the open sea or in the very place, the safest place that you should actually be? In the boat. Remember when I said that I wish that I could be like Peter? I'm not so sure now. And actually, the worst thing is, if I'm honest with myself, I am exactly like Peter in this scenario. I'm just like him. Because I don't trust my Lord and Savior when he calls out to me and tells me that he is my God and that in the midst of the storm, everything is going to be okay. Listen again to the demand. The demand that Peter gives to Jesus. Right after Jesus says, I am the great I am. Peter says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Peter didn't believe his Lord's word. He didn't believe that the best place for him to be was in the boat, because the boat is where Jesus was coming to be with Peter and all the rest of the disciples in the midst of the wind and all of the waves. And isn't this just like me? Isn't it just like me to clamber out over the railing, out of the safety of the boat, because I think I know what is best for me in the midst of all of my troubles? Isn't it just like me to demand that God prove himself to me in the way that I see fit so that I can assure myself that everything is going to be okay? But what good is that? Peter, he got his wish granted. He was called forth from the boat, strode right up alongside Jesus, but still wasn't convinced that everything was going to be okay. He still saw the waves and heard the wind and still slipped beneath the water. It's almost as if Jesus let Peter have his way because Jesus knew that the only way for Peter to realize that he didn't know best was to show him that he didn't know best. What happens when I climb out of the boat and walk upon the waves of the torrents of my own life? I'm still going to sink because I still can't keep and never will be able to keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm not strong enough for that. I'm not steadfast enough for that. The waves are always, always going to be too high to go it alone, to be able to prove to God that I'm faithful enough to Him. And so maybe, just maybe, it isn't given to me to tread upon the waves. Maybe that's given to someone else to do. Maybe, just maybe, scratch that, certainly, absolutely certainly, the waves of sin and death and the devil, they are given to Jesus, for him and only him to tread upon. Which means that the only thing that I have to do is just stay in the boat. It turns out that the boat is a pretty good place to be. It turns out that the boat's the best of places to be. The boat's the only place for a sinner like me to be in the midst of tidal waves of this broken world where sin still breaks and shame still covers and hurts and disease still harms and death still kills and the devil still prowls. Because all of that stuff is happening all around me in the filth and chaos and fear and trembling of the ocean. But my Lord would have me be in the boat, in his boat, in the holy ark of his church. And he wants to keep me safe there. He wants me there so that he can come to me, right there in the boat, in the midst of all the dangers of this floating garbage all around me. And if I'm in the boat, then there's nothing in this fallen world that can ever really do me any eternal harm. And yes, I am still going to be afraid. You are too. And yes, I'm going to wonder if all of this forgiveness of sins stuff and baptism stuff and Holy Communion stuff is really going to keep me safe from all of my mortal enemies. But my doubting and my quivering and my quaking and my shaking and my sobbing, none of that actually dictates whether or not my Lord is going to come to me. In fact, it's because of that. Because of the fact that I can't not be afraid that my Lord does come to me and declares to me in the midst of the raging sea and salt stinging water that I don't need to be afraid, even though I am. That I should, in fact, take heart, even though I can't, because Jesus is God and he is my God and he's my Savior, yours too. And he's actually the one who's already tread upon all of the enemies of the deep with crucified feet that have come forth from the grave shod with the victory of the resurrection. And it's that victory, the victory of the cross and the open tomb, that he brings along with him to give to you as you sit there in the boat and you wait for him to captain you to the other side. Because when Jesus is in the boat with you, nothing can harm you for good. You might get a little bit wet, and sometimes you'll be soaked to the bone, but not even the depths of death can kill you forever. And so, if Jesus can and does walk upon the waves, you don't ever have to. In the name of Jesus.